So I just want to say, on the field, we have this saying, and it's called, just do it anyway. You're tired? Do it anyway. Yeah. Are you sad today? Do it anyway. Are you happy today? Great. Do it anyway. Just do it anyway. And I feel as if this house has really honored to just show up anyway. And I am so grateful that that ceiling is my floor. I know that you guys have gone through a tough season. I know we have lots of visitors today, but for those of you who this is your house, it's been a season and it's been really tough. And I honor you for just doing it anyway. So thank you guys for having me. As I was preparing, getting my teaching together, the stories I wanted to share, I kept having this phrase pop into my head. And it was not like a gentle submission from the Lord. It was kind of like a hammer every time. Let's get uncomfortable. Let's get uncomfortable. Let's get uncomfortable. And I said, Father God, you know your house. This house is no problem getting uncomfortable. The people in this room are willing to be crazy for Jesus and be extremely uncomfortable. And then he took it down a path that I wasn't really expecting. So I pray that you guys are just as wonderfully blessed as I was going on this journey with Jesus. So there's two ways to go about being uncomfortable, because you either are or you aren't. You're either comfortable or you are uncomfortable, right? So sometimes we find ourselves in seasons where it's just a little uncomfortable. You know, the clothes aren't fitting quite right. You know, things are just not moving as we want them to. It's just a little not comfortable. And then sometimes we can find ourselves in seasons where it's like, oh, okay, everything's going all right. You're like kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop because you've just grown a little comfortable. And sometimes we reach that place of comfort and we stop reaching for the challenge because it's our human nature. We want to get to a place where we're not so stressed. We want to get to a place where everything just feels like, oh, I can breathe again. It is absolutely our human nature. And I believe that we diminish the power of the gospel when we perpetually seek out comfort as disciples of Christ. We diminish the power of the gospel when we perpetually seek out comfort as disciples of Christ. So notice, when we perpetually seek out comfort, okay? I am on furlough. I am seeking comfort in this season. I am off the mission field. I have gotten so many medical checkups and the parasites out of my body and all sorts of things because I'm seeking some comfort in this season as I step off the field. That is also holy and that is also valid to seek comfort in that way. I'm talking about a different type of comfortability that is when we're perpetually seeking it. When we're always trying to make the load lighter, when we're always trying to make it easier, that diminishes the power of the Lord working through our lives. And oftentimes, the kingdom advances at the edge of your comfort zone. You get right to the edge, and Jesus just gives you a little kick, and things start to move. Things start to gain momentum. So I wouldn't be a true daughter of this house if I didn't give a definition. Now would I? I have a definition to share with you today. So, uncomfortable. Uncomfortable describes a state of not being at ease, either physically, painful, irritating, or ill-fitting, or mentally, uneasy, embarrassed, or awkward. It refers to anything that causes a lack of comfort, relaxation, or satisfaction, such as a stiff high chair or high heat. Okay, uncomfortable describes a state of not being at ease. And that got my attention, not being at ease. Because if you are at ease, you are not at attention. If you are just kind of seated back a little bit, relaxing into the chair, you're not actually ready for your orders from the commander. So we read 1 Peter 5:8. Oh, do we have verses? Yes. Oh, Maisha's got me. Thank you, girl. 1 Peter 5:8. I'm going to read mine, but you guys can read that one. That's cool. Be alert and of sober mind. What does this one say? Be sober. Be vigilant. I like that. Be vigilant. This one, is this NASB? I could also pull it up in my paper Bible that I have right here. Who has their paper Bible? Is it? Nope. Okay. Let's do NIV. Be control. Sorry, I'm changing it again. I'm in NIV now. I could also read in Portuguese, but I already sang in Portuguese, so we'll leave that to the side. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need to be alert. We need to be sober-minded. We need to be self-controlled. We have to be aware of what is going on around us at all times, because when we sink back into the chair and feel a little comfortable, we diminish what the Lord can actually do. And we're talking about separate from peace, okay? Fruit of the Spirit is eternal and exists at all times, okay? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that should always exist in all circumstances, okay? I'm talking about the uncomfortability that you're just like really hot, your clothes aren't fitting right. It's just, there's nothing sinful about it. There's nothing harmful about it. It's just not where you want to be. So that's what we're talking about today, because when you ease back, you're not at attention and alert. So I do want to say, as this house has been under attack, you're doing something right. We must be doing something wonderfully right, because an enemy isn't going to attack someone who has no movement. We know that well on the mission field. When we are gearing up for crusades, we have to be so vigilant in our communication with one another, in our physical health, because things just explode. Why? Because we're gearing up for a four-night crusade and we're uniting all of the churches in a city. The enemy doesn't really love that. He tends to want to throw some foxes, sniff out what he can, and just tap on the weaknesses that are already there. So it's okay if you're in a season where you're not comfortable. If you're in an uncomfortable season today, good. Stay where you are. And if you feel like you're comfortable, let's get stretched. So I want to talk about discipleship, because we are all disciples of Christ here. We all follow after him. I have disciples as I am a disciple of Christ, and we all are discipled by Christ together, okay? Let's open up to Luke 14. You guys with me?
Yes.
Amazing. Luke 14. Now I am really gonna be in the NIV. Luke 14, 25, 26, and 27. Okay. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Okay, so we're going to dive into these verses a little bit. Okay, I like to take stuff verse by verse. So we're going to stop here in verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said. Large crowds were following Jesus. So this would have been a mixture of people who knew various things about Jesus, probably knew him as the healer, the prophet, maybe some people who were following him as a disciple, perhaps people who hated him. It would have been quite a mixture in this crowd. And then this is what he's laying out. So I did a large study last year on the different types of discipleship groups that the Lord has. So we have kind of this model that Jesus has for discipleship. So he has the three, he has the 12, he has the 72, and then there's the multitudes. So I was getting a little overwhelmed in my ministry about the young adults and the teens, and I was all lost in the sauce, and I was trying to make some of the 72 the three and some of the three the multitudes. Like, I just needed Jesus's model for discipleship. So here we're talking about the multitudes. And as I was with the Lord trying to figure out how to follow this model, he put on my heart to create more open spaces. Create open spaces where those who are on the edges are welcome to come. You know, if they are recovering from drugs, they're welcome to come. If they're living a sort of life outside the walls of the base, they can show up. They're welcome to come. It's Bible studies. It's the volleyball team. It's the soccer team with the teens. It's an open worship night. It's worship on my veranda. It's snack time on a holiday. So specifically for the holidays, I felt the Lord ask me to either do a field trip or a game day. And I'm like, Jesus, don't you know that if it's a holiday, I would actually get the day off? I don't have to be in my office to hand out money. Don't you know? I could stop doing accounting and working. He did know. He knew very well. And I was uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with what felt like extra weight to the already very heavy crossbar on my back. I felt uncomfortable with what he was asking me to do, but it wasn't going to be as uncomfortable as disobedience would have been. So I said, yes. Sure, Lord, add the weight on the crossbar, because if it's you, you're going to help me carry it. So filled up the open spaces. Valerie has been on base. There is just movement every hour of the day from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock, probably later, sometimes earlier. You know, the run club starts at 5. I don't know. We do lots of stuff together. So I started these open spaces. And even though I was uncomfortable, right, I would rather be pushed with him than feel any fraction of the weight and try and do it by myself without him. So I also am extremely uncomfortable to preach in the prison. You guys saw on here, that is the prison. That is the courtyard of the prison in the video that I showed. I just walk in dressed as modestly as possible, hair in a very tight bun in the back so they can't see how long it is. I go in, I have to go with some Mozambicans. I'm not allowed in alone. I am not sent in with an armed guard or anything. It's just me and one of my boys, sometimes two of them. We go in, and then there's just like 200 prisoners, men, just there in the courtyard, and they're just all ready for church. So yeah, I almost peed my pants the first time I went. I'm not gonna act like I'm holier than that. I was a little terrified. And then I needed to go one day because we have a small team. So if someone gets sick and they're the one scheduled to go, like, it's just whoever's available that is up next. I am not going to act like I am not me. I do not volunteer for the prison. I do not. I wait until it is an emergency and I need to go, unless the Lord says. If the Lord says, I would like to say that I'm going. And I ended up in the prison one day, and I was preaching, and I kept like looking over, and I thought I recognized one of the boys, but I couldn't really place it. I meet a lot of people in Dondo, and now that I run on the road, I can never place anybody. So I preached, don't know what I preached on. Hopefully it was holy and good. And after, this young man runs up to us, and Nevish, he was my translator and my bodyguard that day, my good friend, you guys have probably seen pictures of him. He goes, hey, this is Abel. And I'm acting like I know who Abel is at this point. And I said, oh, Abel, so good to see you. How are you? And he's like, yeah, I don't know if you remember me. I love when people start this way. I'm like, please, please tell me how we met. And he said, I just got caught trafficking heroin, but I came to a game night at the base and we had so many snacks. And I just remember that I finally got to like eat enough food that day and we played games and I felt really loved and safe there. And yeah, now I'm here. And I got caught trafficking heroin. And I said, okay, you know us, you know where to find us. So when you get out of here, if you're ready to leave the life, you come find me. It was about 2 weeks later. It was a Sunday evening. I was leaving to go on a run. Annabelle's sitting at the gate. He's waiting to talk to me. And we then began a beautiful discipleship journey, me and one of the boys meeting with him one-on-one, meeting with his mom, really beginning a restoration process. You know, we don't have AA and NA and support groups in Mozambique. We have Jesus and we have the church. So that's what we gave him. And he's doing really well today. He's doing amazing. And it started because I was uncomfortable. I said yes to one more thing on the schedule I didn't have time for. And then I said yes to go into the prison where I don't like to go because I would have been the only one he would have recognized. He wouldn't have recognized anyone else from the team. So when you push past the edge of, I don't want to do that, Lord, there is great fruit and there are people waiting on the other side of your shaky yes. What if I had said no? I believe the Lord would have sent someone else because he's faithful and sovereign, but also let's not reduce the weight because it's uncomfortable. So we're back in verse 25. So that's how large crowds, right? Open spaces, discipleship. Then we're here, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So this word here in the Greek for hate comes from misos. Guys, I don't read Greek. I just use Blue Letter Bible. It's very helpful. But it comes from this root word, and it means to detest or specifically to persecute. And I begin to feel like that would be like to die to. When we're persecuted, we have to die to that. And we see here that Jesus is actually laying out, what does it mean to be a Christian? You don't own your life anymore. My life isn't mine. My schedule isn't mine. I don't have rights to anything. Jesus is who gives me life. Jesus is who allows me to walk on this earth. I gave everything up. That's what we're all called to do. That's what he asks us to do. And we also diminish the gospel when we don't preach it like this. Oh, your life will get better. Like maybe, but also pick up your cross and carry me. You're gonna have to learn how to carry a cross. We have given up our lives to gain so much more. We've gained so much more through Christ that it's worth it. And here in verse 27, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Everyone in this crowd knew what carrying a cross meant. They knew that they were going to put the crossbar on their back, and it was a one-way road to the cross. There was no going back. When they put the crossbar on their back and said yes to Jesus, that was a one-way road to death. They said, yes, I will follow this until the very end that we know. So they knew. They knew it was a one-way journey. And each one of us is called to carry the cross of Christ. We're all called to carry what he has given us. And we actually, all of our crosses weigh the same amount. It might look like someone else's cross weighs more, but the lie of comparison is a robber and will steal everything from you. All of our crossbars weigh the same. My crossbar is not heavier because I live in a third world country and get malaria. It's not heavier. It is a crossbar that I carry. Okay, we all have been given a load from the Lord to carry. So what I think is heavy and what someone else thinks is heavy is going to be totally different. Okay, what I'm called to do and what you're called to do are totally different, and it's beautiful. So like Valerie said, right, I'm a logistics coordinator. I'm an accountant. I do a bit more than that, but I need to do my job for the rest of the things to function. Eric cannot stand on a crusade stage and preach to see thousands saved without there being water bottles at chairs for the people of honor on the stage. Okay? Eric cannot stand up there and cast demons out of people without us mobilizing workers in the deliverance tent, security guards, so that people don't get trampled, and the whole shebang. Nothing can function without all of us being present and being there. So for the Crusades, I tend to get there really early to the field because it's logistics. It's running around. It's name tags. It's retying up, I don't know, the barriers because a wooden pole fell over. Kids were playing with it. It's like sweeping the dancing tarp. It's like throwing water down so we don't create as much of a dust cloud. Sometimes it's like very not holy work. We're like picking up trash out in the field. I get like little kids to come with me. I'm like, come on, come help Tatia. Come on, we're going to clean up the field. And they're like, what? Why would we do that? Okay? Sometimes it's just not holy activity. It's holy to the Lord. It just doesn't feel so holy. So I got to the field early one day, you know. It was about 3 o'clock. The crusade starts at 4 o'clock African time, which means it starts at like 5:30 or 6 p.m. real time, okay? So I'm there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's a text from Tanya in the chat. It's already starting. I need help in the tent. I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm the one who's here. I'm here to put water bottles on the stage, but I'm here. And this was at our Cotton Dika crusade, and some of you might have already heard this testimony, but there was a woman, Marcia, and she hadn't been allowed to come to the crusade. We were already on the second or third night. Her husband said she was not allowed to go, prohibited her. And as she was leaving the field, she came early to see what was happening because it was early enough they wouldn't know that she came. And as she tried to leave the field, she fell right at the edge of the field and started manifesting. We got her to the tent. Deliverance, full restoration, until by the end of the crusade, her husband had been brought. They had been set up for discipleship. The whole family had been brought into the fold because one woman was brave enough to come early, and I was there to set up some water bottles. Every single job is important. Whatever job that you're doing, the Lord will bring them to you. The Lord is sovereign. Whatever work it is that you're doing, it is so important. Don't let the enemy tell you that that crossbar is cooler than the other one, that you should be carrying that one instead of yours. The Lord made yours for you, and you're supposed to carry that. Amen? So crossbars, they weighed between 70 and 125 pounds. That's the crossbeam. Normally, they just carried the crossbeam. And then the actual cross with the upright stake, everything together, would have weighed over 300 pounds. So that's heavy. Some of you lift in here. 300 pounds would be really heavy. Even if we just talk about the lighter end of the crossbar of 75 pounds, like us youngins, we could get it up there like easy. And then, you know, it might be like 10 minutes later that we're like crumbling under it. It's supposed to be heavy. It is supposed to weigh something. It is supposed to tire you out. The Lord taught me last year to not complain about a full plate because the goal was to eat. Don't complain that the plate is full. And then I changed my prayer. Lord, don't diminish the load brought in my shoulders. Don't diminish the load. I don't want to say no to something that you have for me. But that means you got to broaden my shoulders. So to carry this burden means that we're his disciple. And Zoe shared this, here you are. She shared this recently at a service, and I'm so grateful because I had actually gotten the word in my spirit, but because it was part of my sermon, I like pushed it away. I was like, oh, I'm just processing on my conversations with the Lord. Like, surely that's not supposed to be given. So thank you for your obedience because I was a little bit too at ease. So during Bible times, someone was said to be a good disciple if they followed so close to their rabbi that they were covered in the dust that their feet kicked up. Okay? You want to follow so close to Jesus that you actually get covered in the dust that he's kicking up. Okay, who here has been covered in dust before? Okay, all right. Who here has been covered in dust in the last month? Okay, all right. See, we got a house that works. We got a house that works out there in the garden. I do know that. Okay, so there are very uncomfortable things when you are covered in dust. It is a very uncomfortable feeling So I live in Mozambique where we don't always have running water and we get covered in dust. So this revelation, when I first read it about being a disciple, it hit me so hard in the chest that I just began dialoguing with the Lord about this idea of being covered in dust. Lord, it's so uncomfortable to be covered in dust. When we do gospel trucks, we start the day. Okay, it starts at 6 o'clock African time. So that means we finally roll out around 7 a.m. or something. We finally make it to a market around like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. By the time we've like visited all the people that need to be honored and show our government permissions, it's probably like 9:30. The sun is already doing its thing. It is shining. It is hot. We are the show for Jesus. We are the vessel that gets to put on it's not a show, right? Because it's the gospel. It's a spectacle. It's a demonstration. Spectacle is a good word for it because I'm there trying to keep up with the boys' footwork and there is no way these footies are going to keep up with what they can do, but I try my best. And you are just drenched in sweat. You are kicking up dust and you are just immediately uncomfortable and absolutely disgusting by, 5 minutes into the dancing set. It is so hot and so dusty. And I started to talk to the Lord about this because if you're going to get covered in dust, I don't get covered in dust on just a regular walk to the market, really. Because we're keeping a speed. Vale knows this well. We're strolling. We keep a speed that gets us there, that doesn't like allow us to drip sweat too badly. Maybe just like the minor dripping. You know, we like mosey along. We walk like a 30-minute mile pace, you guys. Like, we are just moseying along, okay? There needs to be momentum if you're going to be covered in the dust from Jesus' feet. There is a velocity that is required when we follow Jesus. There is a speed that is necessary if you're actually going to be close enough to get covered in his dust. It's not a moseying along. It's a, we are walking to get somewhere, we're trying to get somewhere, and we're walking so fast that he's kicking up this dust and it's covering us. We're exerting ourselves and it's sticking to us because there's a velocity required to staying close to Jesus. Amen? That makes me think of parable of the talents, right? I probably would have been the servant with the one talent. I'm a contingency planner. I am like, you gave me one. Okay, I'm going to carefully go put it over here. I'm going to make sure I know where it is. It's safe. Nothing's going to go wrong with it. Oh, master, look, I brought you your talent back. Look, it's clean. It's beautiful. You wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy servant, you only kept what I gave you. That's what he said to the one who just maintained, to the one who just kept the speed. Lord, what are we doing today? Oh, we could do that tomorrow. No, there is a velocity and a multiplication that is necessary as we follow Jesus. Then I began to talk to the Lord about when it's easier. Sometimes there are things that we can do that make it a little bit easier in the season of being uncomfortable. And the main thing I could think of on Gospel Truck, we are all in it together. We all stink. We all are covered in dust. And sometimes on lunch break, we eat like bread with banana in it and just act like it's the most nourishing meal in the whole world. We're like, yeah, it's hot. Mm-hmm, it's hot. Yeah, I'm a little sweaty. Yeah, me too. Okay, cool. Cool. And then we just keep going. Can't take a shower. A lot of them don't have deodorant. You know, we just keep pushing. But there's some communal joy that comes from the fact that we're all in it together. We're all dusty together. Because there is power in your uncomfortable, dusty yes when you do it together. There is additional power that comes when we stay dusty together. So I want to talk about the power of the body as we follow this line of what it means to be uncomfortable, of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, And I want to talk about this idea that's been circling around social media lately. Some of you might have seen it, that to have a village, you have to be a villager. You know that saying, it takes a village? Well, to have a village, you have to be a villager. And this house is really good at being a village. Hear my heart. You guys are so good. You're always reaching out. You guys are amazing. And to have a support system, you have to support others, right? So now I want to look at the next division of discipleship that the Lord had, and we're going to go to Luke 10, the 72, right? So Luke 10, verses 1 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." I love when he sends out the 72. But of course, that's the 10-year-old Caitlin who was like, "Ooh, malaria, let's go." Like, "Ooh, lambs among wolves." All right, so Jesus did not send anybody out alone. He didn't send the 72 out alone. He sent them out in pairs. He sent them out together because there's power when we're doing it together. The first thing, let's pull up Genesis 2:18. The first thing that was not good was for man to be alone. It's the first thing that the Lord says, this is not good. This is not good. It is not good that man should be alone. It's not good. It's the first thing. It's the law of first. We should pay attention to that. There's kind of like, okay, I'm speaking to my 20-somethings now. There is like this weird thing going on sometimes in our generation where it's like, nah, it's just me and Jesus. Like, we're out here and I'm just like, I'm leaning on the Lord and I'm like learning from him. And I'm like, okay, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good. Sure, go to the desert for 40 days. Okay, go fast, go pray 40 days. 40 days and then it's done. It's not good for man to be alone, okay? So it's the first bad thing, and we can take it in the context of marriage, which is beautiful and holy, and I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to take it in context of the body. So let's jump to 1 Corinthians 12. Are we alive?
Yes.
First Corinthians, yay, Winnie. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. I'm sorry, I'm going to run a little over, but we're trucking forward. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 26. "So that there should be no division in the body, but that all its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." So there should be no division in the body. We are better together. We can do so much more united than any one of us could ever do divided. There's to be no division. So we all have very different gifts on the base, and we talk about it all the time because we look at the tasks, or when we get invitations to teach at Bible schools, we just kind of divide and conquer based on strengths to the best we can. Of course, if I need to go into the prison, yes, Lord. And we were going on gospel truck. It was the week Valerie was supposed to visit. Also, mom and dad, I'm sorry you're getting this story from the pulpit. It's okay. I was safe. It's happening, Valerie. Okay. So we went to gospel truck and we got there. We set up, bless them, Lord. We set up the stage. We set up the truck. The lights were up. I was like gallivanting off in the village and I was like learning how to make straw mats. There's a reason I only posted about the straw mats from this gospel truck day. We're off and I'm with one of the boys and he's so sweet. He's like torn between the Mormon church and our church. But like, so we have good conversations of like apologetics. And I'm like, okay, so you don't believe in that. You don't believe in that. Anyway, we're praying for people. We're visiting with everyone. And before we had left, I told Elena, I was like, "Elena, I'm not excited." And if you know me, that's like really weird. If I show up to an exciting event and I am not just like bouncing off the walls so hard that I'm annoying you, there's probably something wrong. The Lord has just put the energy level up here and forgot to turn it down one day. And I do live up there. I'm an energizer bunny. So I told her, I was like, oh, I'm not excited. She was like, okay. I just like pray. My sister is laughing because I was just such an annoying child growing up. Still can't sit down and watch TV to this day. And Elena goes, oh, I pray that off in Jesus' name. And like, we just keep moving, right? Because I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Do it anyway. So, you know, we're off. I'm having fun, like learning how to make a straw mat. We get back and there's like all these government officials there and they're kicking us out. They're like, hey, you're not allowed to do your gospel truck. I was like, okay, cool. I'm just dancing with the kids. We're having fun. I was not allowed to preach them the gospel, even though I really wanted to, because we were already getting kicked out. And it was like, keep a lid on it. I'm like, okay. So we just danced to the music and I like kept the kids away from the equipment. We rolled it all up. But now it's already been like a 5-hour ordeal. Would have been faster if they just let us preach, really. But dancing with these kids, we get it all packed up. And as we roll out, they start throwing sand and stones. And they try and stone us on our way out. And one of the boys, you know, he gets lenses knocked out of his glasses. There weren't too many stones, but they had a bucket prepared of stones. So they were like literally ready to throw these stones. And we got back to the base and I was so upset. And it wasn't super dangerous and it wasn't like we were in peril or anything, you know, the truck pulled away. It was fine. It was like missionary level fine. It was fine. And my heart broke for those kids because I was like, who taught them? Who taught them that that's the answer? Who taught them that you throw stones at your friends you just danced with? Like, who taught them? And my heart broke. And, you know, the boys are just laughing at me because they're like, oh, it's just Caitlin crying again. Like, we'll just let her calm down. And Elena just sweeps me up and she's like, that's what they know, but that means that they have a chance to learn better. And she just, with one swipe, wipes the whole burden off of me. And we keep going. Because that's the power of the body. You don't carry the burden alone. What would have wrecked me if I had been on that gospel truck alone, trying to process that forever and ever, I probably wouldn't have slept that night. I just would have thought about those little kids in the bucket that they were carrying. No. The power of the body is that with one swipe, the burden was shouldered and we kept moving. So with that, let's go to Galatians 6:2. Thank you guys for listening. Sorry about that story, Mom and Dad, from the pulpit. Yay. I try and not share the peril ones. They're good parents. The Lord blessed me with a really good set of parents, you guys. All right. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Yeah. My load, I was talking to Ron about this. You know, there's a difference between a load and a burden, is to live in Mozambique. That's what I'm called to. That's what I'm supposed to carry. That's the crossbar that was given to me. That is my good work to the Lord. And then there are burdens that come along that sometimes need a little more shouldering. Medical emergencies that I just need counsel on what to do when there's too many disciples that are in absolute chaos, you know, when there's multiple deaths in the church and when there's multiple disasters and the emergencies really never stop on base. There's a reason you can't reach me on Saturdays. My phone just goes off. I'm like, if it's not off, we are attending one emergency one way or another. So we need to help each other carry the burden. I want to illustrate this difference here. We were at a crusade in Gondola. It was the Gondola Crusade. And it was the last night, fourth night. You guys saw the video of everyone dressed in white dancing. This was that night, okay? I remember because this girl was dressed in white. It was the president's daughter. So she was like, we build up, okay, give some context, Caitlin. In the Crusade cities we go in about 3 to 5 months in advance, and we partner and make invitations to all of the churches in the area. Our Crusade director lives in the city. We rent a house. He begins to work with all of the churches in the city to elect a president, a vice president, and then presidents of the committees that help with us to get the word out. They help with deliverance. They help with the worship team. They help with the chorus and the dance team. It is all volunteers from the churches in the cities we go into. Okay, so we get the body to work together. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. We go in and we invite everybody. Whoever wants to come of a church, come on in. Welcome to the fold. You're going to get the Holy Spirit whether you want him or not. So we were on the fourth night, and Gondola was amazing. It was this tiny little city off the highway. I actually had broken down there once and met these missionaries who were incredible and hosted us for a night, because otherwise we would have ended up like on the side of the road, like with the chickens. So love Gondola. Fourth night, because we were dressed in white. Fourth night, we get someone in the testimony line, and it's the president's daughter. And I am run. So I do a lot of running on the crusade fields because I'm the scribe for the testimony. So every testimony gets written down by me. And then I'm running people to the testimony line. So after prayer, I take people who have, I hear them, and I decide if it's going to go on the stage. And then we bring them over to the stage. I order them with the person who will receive them to be received by the evangelist. And then it's a full sprint back to the line, making a decision, bring the person over to the stage. It is a very high intensity activity for the evening. I get over, I'm like walking someone over, and all there's like commotion. There's all this commotion, and I just hear, I'm a witness too. I can tell you, I saw it. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. And there's just all of this chaos happening, and I get over and I'm like, hi, like, why aren't you following protocol? You're supposed to be over there. And everyone's just screaming at me until eventually I get the story. There's this girl standing, walking perfectly, and it's the president's daughter. And she had been our worship leader, and I remembered her from the first few nights. She had a limp and couldn't walk, and she was carried for months to every single worship practice. Every single time they practiced, she was carried. And she had the voice of an angel, and she would serve the Lord and sing her lungs out. And she was healed that night. Until she received her healing, her brothers and sisters had to help carry her. That's what it means to help carry a burden. That's what it means to help one another. You carry them to the practice because they're called to serve. You help them get there. They might have something that makes it harder for them to get there, but you help them carry that burden until it changes, until it's lifted, until they're healed, until heaven intervenes. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So a lot of people here are contending for breakthrough today. I know a lot of your lives. I know them really well. And there is a lot of things that we have before the Lord. And I am here to tell you that he is no respecter of persons. What Jesus did for me, he'll do for you. What he did on a crusade field, he can do in this house. What he's done in the prison, he can pour out here. What he's done in the hospital, he wants to do for you. So if there's anything that you're contending for tonight, a burden that you need broken off, I'd like for you to stand, and I'd like to pray for you as I get ready to close. Jesus died for every single one of us. And when he did that, he wiped away the power of sin and shame. He fully took it away. There was no part of it that he said, oh, this little bit can remain. Oh, that's not for that person. He fully and completely took away all of it and said, that's my son. That's my daughter. And he gave you the full inheritance. He gave you all of the power of heaven. Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your presence here in this place, Holy Spirit. And I ask right now that you would bring healing into every single body in this room. I speak right now from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet that everything be restored and healed and whole and brought into perfect and full alignment in the name of Jesus. For everyone that is standing in the gap, for someone at home, I speak full healing in the power of heaven to come touch them, to come invade the room where they are. Holy Spirit, I say come. For everyone who is having issues with emotional or mental health right now, I say be restored in the name of Jesus. As someone who has overcome it, I say full restoration right now in the name of Jesus. Perfect thinking, peace of God, come and fall afresh right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, for those who need financial breakthrough, I say right now, curse of sin and power of hell be broken off in the name of Jesus, and abundance and treasures of heaven come be poured out upon your people. For right now, anyone who is struggling with back pain, I say go right now in the name of Jesus, and I say full restoration. For anyone who is struggling with their sight, I say give them your eyes, Jesus, and be fully restored right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I just feel like there's people, someone here with a headache or a migraine issue. And we just say, be broken off right now in the name of Jesus. Migraines, no more. You have no place. Those triggers are broken off right now in the name of Jesus. And everything is free and available to you. We speak perfect alignment into every single body that is here. And I thank you, Jesus. Bones be restored. Hearing be fully restored. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.